You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Faith for Flow by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
All right. Ecclesiastes 11 chapter and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1. Let's read down to verse 6 together. Come on. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Come on, read verse 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to focus. This scripture is talking about sowing and trusting God, that when you sow, God will miraculously do things that you had not anticipated and had not seen, and that only God could do after you sow. It is a scripture encouraging us to make investments into the kingdom of God and make investments and believe that God will breathe upon that seed. As the New Testament said, he'll increase your seed sown. Seed in the hand does not grow. Seed in the hand does not multiply. Seed has to be sown. And so it starts off in verse 1. It first says, cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now that verse, Ecclesiastes 11 and 1, from the New Living Translation, it says, send your grain across the seas, and in time, profits will flow back to you. Profits will flow back to you. I think last year, perhaps the last quarter, and it all runs together for me, I did a message or a series called Tapping into the Money Flow. And I want to kind of deal with that aspect of flow again today and talk about faith for flow. Everybody say faith for flow. God wants you to have faith for flow. But it says, and the proof that you have faith for flow is that you cast it out then, believing that in time, I wish I could tell you exactly how much time, but that in time, the profits, the increase, the multiplication is going to flow back to you from what you sent out. Now, God has promised, even in the Old Testament, he promised that he would take his people into a land, according to Deuteronomy the 8th chapter, that is flowing with milk and honey. But you have to have faith for flow. Even though God told them that I want to bring you to a place where you will eat without scarceness, that you will have variety on your menu, and you'll have a la carte preferences, and you won't just be eating manna anymore and quail anymore, many of them did not trust that God was going to do that. So even though God promised flow, they never experienced the flow. Come on. Just because God promises flow don't mean you'll experience the flow. Because whether you experience the flow is contingent upon you having faith for flow. Everybody say, Lord, give me faith for flow. Now, faith is demonstrated by obedience to God's word. Faith is demonstrated by obedience to God's word. So you can't say, I believe in tithing. The proof that you believe in tithing is what? Is that you tithe. You can say, I believe in being faithful to my wife. Well, the proof of that is that you are faithful to your wife. I believe in being in being consistent in church and coming to church. But a proof of that is that you are consistent. So you need to understand this whole concept of thinking that faith is merely something in your mind or something that you mentally assent to, that is not faith. Faith is demonstrated by what you do. Now, the word of God, the word of faith that we which we preach is in thy heart and in thy mouth. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. That God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So there's always some corresponding action that has to go along with your faith. So faith is demonstrated by obedience to God's word. Faith in tithing is demonstrated by tithing. Faith in giving is demonstrated by giving. Faith that in sowing is demonstrated by sowing. Faith in something moving is demonstrated that you'll move it. Faith is demonstrated by corresponding action to what we believe. Look at James, the second chapter, verse 18. James 2, verse 18. Many of us heard this in various contexts, but I want to read it from the New Living Translation, where James is making the case that your mental assent of faith is not enough. Some people think that James and Paul were at odds, that they were beefing, that they were debating. And it is not that they were debating. James is giving further detail for what Paul was writing about. And the just shall live by faith. By grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God. But then James is giving us a little more meat on that. On that faith bone, and saying that now the proof that you have this is that there's some corresponding action with it. Now, we all know people who ascend to Christianity in their mind but are not Christians. See, some people think Christianity is something you check off on the box. It's a check on the box. Like y'all, they ask you identify, you know, fill out an application, they ask you identify your race. You know, Hispanic, Caucasian, African American. Okay? Now they'll give you other. Okay? And so you check off one of the boxes. Some people think Christianity is a box check. Hindu, Muslim, atheist, Christian. So they check a box. And think that makes me. We know checking a box don't make you a Christian. We know just because you say you believe in Christianity does not make you a Christian. Now, I'm talking about the church now. I know how the world try to categorize people. You know, if you don't believe in Allah, if you believe in Jesus, you're a Christian. If you believe in Allah, you're Muslim. No, or believe Muhammad, you're Muslim. You know, if you believe in Joseph Smith, you're Mormon. Okay, etc. But we know it's more to it than that. Come on now. And so we come up with all kinds of ways that we try to distinguish Christianity. And so, you know, back in the 70s, as we had the charismatic renewal, we started really having this distinction between Christians and born-again Christians. And some people would even tell you, now I'm a Christian, but I ain't necessarily one of those born-again Christians. And then you had the people who were born again, they want to let you know, listen, I'm born again. I ain't just no Christian. I'm born again. Can I tell you there's only one way you can become a Christian? You must be born again. Okay? So there is no Christianity without being born again. It's not by the mind. It's by what's happening in your spirit. That Jesus, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night in John the 3rd chapter, sitting there, Master, and he comes to him by night because he's one of the religious people of the Jews, and Caesar said there's something unique about Jesus, unique about how he's talking, unique about his ministry, and he comes by night because he doesn't want anybody to know that he's slipping over there to that church and going to their services. So he comes to Jesus by night and says, now I teach you, I know you sent by God. Because no man can do the thing that you do unless God is with him. And he's trying to ease into this conversation of saying what's going on. And Jesus just cuts to the chase. Hey, Lord, listen, here's the deal, Nicodemus. That which is flesh, and that which is born, that which is spirit is spirit. He said, the reason why you don't understand what's going on with me and trying to discern it after your mind, he said, is because you must be born again. He said, no man can see the kingdom of God, discern the Spirit of God, unless he is born again. And so there's actions to becoming born again, not just mental sin of saying that you're a Christian. You're with me here. So now James goes into more detail about what how we operate in faith. James, the second chapter, verse 18, starting at verse 18, according to the New Living Translation. And James, right now, someone may argue some people have faith and others have good deeds, or what the traditional King James calls works. He said, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? How can you show me your faith if you don't have any works corresponding with it? He said, now I will show you my faith by my good deeds. He's talking about actions that go along to demonstrate my faith. You say I have faith, for you believe there's one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in fear. How many of y'all know demons believe in Jesus? Demons believe in one God. And mad demons save. I'm sorry. Not one of the demons are saved. And that's what he said. He said, now you say you believe in Jesus. That make you a Christian. He said, demons believe in Jesus. When Jesus would come around, the demons would beg Jesus not to torment him. We know who you are. Leave us alone. There ain't time for you to mess with us yet. Okay? So the demons believe in Jesus. That's what he's saying here, but that don't make them Christians. Verse 20. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham? Now, see, now he's really giving more details of what Paul was saying. Because Paul said, was Abraham justified by works? Was Abraham justified by faith? And Paul says Abraham was justified by faith. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. But now James said, but let's keep looking at Abraham here and get a little more detail about how Abraham pleased God. He said, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? We know that. I preach about it many times from Genesis 22, where God tells Abraham to take his only begotten son, Isaac, and sacrifice him on the altar. And when he goes to lift up his knife to strike the child, God says, stop. He said, because now I see that thou fearest me. Okay? Abraham's faith was seen through his obedience. Come on now. He believed God. What was the proof that he believed God? He did what God told him to do. He believed God. What was the proof? He went on and took that boy up to the mountain. What was the proof that he believed God? He lifted up his hand to sacrifice him. And the Bible now, Romans, the fourth chapter, it gives a little more insight into Abraham's mind as to why he believed, why he was willing to do that. Because he saw the vision, God raising him up from the dead. He saw the vision. In other words, what he really had was a premonition. He really had a prototype in his mind of God raising Jesus from the dead. And Isaac was a type of Jesus. Are y'all with me here? So verse 21, he said, don't you remember how he was shown to be right with God when he offered his son Isaac? Verse 22, you see his faith. You see his faith and his actions work together. Everybody say faith and actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. Actions make your faith complete. Stop saying what you believe in, but you don't do it. Your actions make your faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. And James is now letting you know that was demonstrated by his actions. He even called him, he was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Does James lay out the case? So there are certain phrases and statements, if you are a member of this church, come to this church, listen to this ministry, been around this ministry for a number of years. There's certain phrases and statements that we state here that we declare here and that we confess here at Right Direction Church that can just become cliches. And a cliche is an empty statement without understanding and corresponding actions. I live, I give to live. I sow to flow. I cast to last. Well, my challenge to you today is that if you give to live, then give so you can start living. If you sow to flow, then sow so you can start flowing. If you cast the last, then start casting so you can have longevity. That's what that means. And that's what the Lord spoke to me. I'll never forget Raymond Word. We're on our way down to World Changes Church for the sons and daughters meeting. This is somewhere around the year 2000. It happened to be one of the few days that here in South Carolina where we have snow. And I remember I'm riding down in that burgundy Jaguar that the Perrys have now. Riding down there and Pastor Moss is doing what she usually does when I'm driving on the road. What was she doing, y'all? Sleeping. And every now and then if she hears some gravel, tell me, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. All right, go back. Okay. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to give you a strategy. How to always have your needs met and make sure the needs of your ministry are met. And he spoke that to me. He said, give to live, sow to flow, cast to last. Give to live. Make your living through your giving. Not three jobs. Make your living through your giving. I'm going to challenge somebody here. So if you're working two and three jobs, turn your sowing up. Tell God, listen, I don't have time for this. I don't have time to be working two and three jobs. No. I need more income. I don't need more work. Somebody say, I know that's right. I need more income. I don't need a second job, third job. No, I need more income. So God said, okay, now I will separate you from the crowd if you learn to give to live. And sow the flow. The flow means, this is what I want to really preach about, so let me mention that one second. Cast to last. Everybody say longevity. See, because God don't want you having bursts of prosperity. Okay? Now, we rebuke it. We speak against it and all that. But I was with the president of BB&T Bank this week. He said, well, you know, all the predictions that we might go into another recession in 2020. I got home yesterday and picked up my monthly, it was in the mail, my monthly subscription to Money Magazine, okay? And it says, preparing for the recession of 2020, okay? Now, see, some of y'all get scared right now. But all you got to know is that I cast to last. Come on, as long as I keep bread in the water, I'm going to be all right. Can I tell you, and the truth is, there are some that have been greater than others. Recessions that and all recessions, it's a downturn in the financial markets, and it's a slowing down of production, and it's a slowing down of lending and all those kind of things, and slowing down of the gross domestic product and all that, and there's various things that's happening politically that may be contributing to that, and not just financially, but the Lord told me, he said, you cash, you'll last. So through every recession, and I tell you, over the last 23 years, we've been at least two or three of them. The last one was one of the worst that we had seen. It was about the closest to the depression. But can I tell you, in the midst of the world's greatest, they call it the Great Recession. Just like they refer to the depression of the 20 to 30, the Great Depression. They refer to this last thing that happened around the 2008 as the Great Recession. In the midst of that, we built a new building. In the midst of that, then we paid that building off. In the midst of that, we started on another one. And since paid that, come on now. God told me, if I cast, you cast your last. Because see, what I understand is that my finances, oh, come on now. All my need are supplied according to his riches in glory. Not to the Republican riches or the democratic riches, or to the gross domestic product of the United States. He supplies all my needs. And watch it. And there is never a recession in the kingdom of God. There is never a recession in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's never a slowdown in heaven. There's never a shortage in heaven. There's never a pullback in heaven. There's never tariffs and a trade war going on in heaven. God always got a supply. I just got to tap into that flow. So he told me, soda flow, soda flow, soda flow, flow, say the soda flow. So to stay above water. So to always have your needs met. So to keep it coming. Somebody say, keep it coming, Lord, keep it coming. See, as long as there's a flow, it keeps coming. It keeps coming. But none of these statements mean anything or will produce anything if you don't have faith for flow. So you need faith for flow. Faith for flow says, I may be dry today, but I'm going to be wet tomorrow. Faith for flow says, watch this, I'm going on vacation this year, even though I don't see vacation money right now. But I ain't planning on going on vacation until July. So I don't need the money right now. I will need the money in July. So I'm going to go ahead and plan my vacation because I got faith for flow that when July come, I'll have my vacation money. I'm showing you how you live with this faith to flow mentality. I've seen people and when you've learned to live by faith, as Pastor Marsh and I had to do, this is how we had to live. Because we literally were living by God supplying every need as we needed it. So if we kept saying, well, I don't have, I've seen people all the time, okay. You get a cold today. And by the way, y'all need to understand, this is stuff that y'all been trained to do in South Carolina. I'm going to tell you, watch this. You get a cold today and you cancel appointments next week. Okay? Because what you're saying, I'm going to be sicker next week because I got the sniffles today. Y'all know people talk like that. I've heard people say, well, I'm probably not going to be able to be there. I'm not feeling well. Well, that's today. Don't you have faith I can be healed by tomorrow? By next week? No, come on. If you can see that regarding healing, why can't you see that regarding finances? Because the same God that heals you is the God who supplies your needs. Oh, come on now. The same God who heals you is the one who said, all the gold is mine and all the silver is mine. I got an article that came across in one of my emails this week. It said several things to not do as a church leader. One of them, it was talking about cancel services based upon predicted weather. Y'all know South Carolina specializes in that. Come on. If they said Friday it was going to snow today, the churches start lining up at the bottom of WIS, LTX, and everybody else. So and so, no service today. Such and such Baptist Church, no service today. Such and such, no service today. See, so you're conditioned to operate based upon bad news. You've been conditioned to believe the worst. That's why they say it's going to be some snow. We don't really get snow here in South Carolina. Occasionally we get some snow. Okay? And all the water clears out. And all the bread clears out. And all the batteries clear out. Watch this. They didn't even say it's a blizzard. They didn't say we getting a vortex. None of that. They didn't say we saw polar bears on the way 26 coming to Columbia. None of that. They say chance of snow. And we start operating based upon a prediction for bad news. Come on, look to them and say, flip that thing. Come on, if you can believe for bad news, you can flip that thing and believe God forbid good news. If you can believe and have fear of lack, I can have faith for supply.
Do you really believe that if you give, you'll receive? When you have faith for flow, you understand that you will have what you need when you need it. There will be no fear of running out. Bishop Herbert Bailey helps you to activate your faith for flow in this powerful series. Order today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Double for Your Trouble and get the bonus message, Faith for Flow. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.